Okay, so this is our 13th study in the book of Jeremiah. We ended at the end of chapter 14 last time, and I'm not reviewing it. Go back and read it yourself. Chapter 15. Then the Lord said to me, "Even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my soul could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my presence and let them go. It will come to pass when they say to you, 'Where should we go?' Then you will tell them, 'Thus says the Lord, those for death to death, those for the sword to the sword, those for famine to famine, those for exile to exile.'" Anybody know where else we hear something like that? In the Bible, I mean. Yeah. Somewhere in Revelations. About chapter 13. Let's look at chapter 13 of Revelation for a minute. We'll start in the beginning so we get some context, okay? "Then I saw a beast rising out of the sea that had 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns were 10 royal crowns, and upon his heads were slanderous names. Now the beast that I saw was like a leopard, his feet like a lion's, and his mouth like a bear's. And the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority. One of his heads seemed to have been slain, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole earth was amazed and followed the beast, and they worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. They also worshipped the beast, chanting, 'Who is like the beast, and who can make war against him?' The beast was given a mouth uttering great boasts and blasphemies. It was given authority to act for 42 months. How long is that?
3.5 years.
About 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth with blasphemies against God to slander his name and his tabernacle, that is, those dwelling in heaven. He was also permitted to make war against the holy ones and overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. All who dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. If anyone is meant for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be killed by the sword he must be killed." So, here Jeremiah is.
Question.
Yes.
All right.
Question.
So, all those whose names have not been written in the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
All the people who are not believers,
right,
are going to worship him.
So, all right, my question is sort of, it talks about the book of life somewhere else about erasing.
Yeah.
Okay, so does everybody start out in the book of life?
Do not blot my name out of the book
of
life.
And then some people get blotted out, or what's the deal?
Okay, I always have an answer.
Even
in this case, I have an answer. I have no idea.
Oh, okay, Jer, thank you.
I have no idea if everybody starts in the book of life and then your name gets written out. I'm thinking not. I'm thinking we all start out dead in our sins. And so, when we come alive by choice, then he writes our name into the book of life. And for those that don't believe, or that believe in eternal security, there are scriptures that say, "Please do not blot my name out of the book of life," which tends to indicate that that could happen.
The 10 virgins you get.
Yeah. We're not going into an eternal security study here, and we're also not studying the book of Revelation. I brought that scripture out because it is parallel to what's happening in Jeremiah. Remember, we've been talking about the dispersion of the Jewish people. They're going to be scattered amongst the nations. We've previously, over many studies, talked about how Israel also sinned, but they were cast out and scattered everywhere. But much of what's happening to the people here in Israel, because remember a couple weeks ago we talked about, I asked you, so when it says all of these people have turned away from God, have all of these people turned away from God?
Jeremiah didn't.
We know that Daniel didn't. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't. We find in chapter 14 where he's crying out before God, and he uses, we acknowledge our wickedness, verse 20 of chapter 14. We acknowledge our wickedness, Lord, the iniquity of our fathers. We have sinned against you. Do not despise us for your name's sake. So obviously there's a remnant. There's always a remnant. So, you know, I like to say that when in Hebrew it says all, what it really means is whole buncha. Because it's evident through the context of the scripture that it doesn't mean all, as in we mean from our Greek-based, Latin-based, mathematical, this equals that language skills. All in a Middle Eastern term does not necessarily mean a total, all-inclusive, every single person.
So all is just
most of them. Yes. Yes. Well, I wasn't even talking about the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes have already been scattered at this point historically. Now the assault has begun by Nebuchadnezzar on Jerusalem and Judea. Judah and Benjamin are all that's left. Mm-hmm. And we'll find out later that God has intentions for them. But right now in this scripture, you know, he's saying, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, I'm not going to stop. Mm-hmm. This is the deal. They're leaving. Okay? Those for death to death, those for sword to sword, those for famine to famine, and those for exile to exile. So death, sword, and famine seem pretty final. But exile, sometimes God exiles his people. And I think it's really important for us to know, as we live in a world that continues to reject God and deny God, and swallow the lie that just because you repent and you're living a right life doesn't mean that you will not necessarily have consequences of the world in which you live. When the scripture talks about Lot, he says his righteous man was, his soul was vexed by the wickedness that surrounded him. He lost all his stuff anyway, and his wife. And his daughters wound up into a perverted arrangement, you know, with him. So, you know, all kinds of stuff can come upon righteous people because of where God chooses to let them live. And sometimes he exiles them. And I think it's important to know, because there are a lot of Christians that believe if bad things happen to you, that's an indication that God's not happy with you, and that's not necessarily true. So, I've appointed, verse 3, over them four kinds. It is a declaration of the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to drag, the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. So I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. What exactly did he do in Jerusalem? You'll find a summation of him in chapter 21 of 2 Kings. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Why did the wicked prosper? His mother's name was Hephzibah, but he did what was evil in the Lord's eyes, following the abominations of the nations that the Lord had dispossessed before the children of Israel. For he built the shrines that his father Hezekiah had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah pole, as King Ahab of Israel had done, and bowed down to all the host of heaven and worshipped them. He even built altars in the Lord's house, where the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. He built altars for all the host of heavens in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He also made his son pass through the fire, practicing soothsaying, divination, and consulting mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord to provoke him. Then he set up carved images of Asherah that he made in the house about which the Lord had said to David and his son Solomon, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever." So they're going into captivity because of what happened then, and because they adhered to those things as well. But there are people clearly that are believers even in the midst. And I keep harping on this because we're living in a nation, and there are a lot of Christians that cling to politics. They believe, you know, if only we had a better Caesar. If only we had a better Caesar, life would be fine. And I think we're at a point in history where, just as they were at a point in history where God said, okay, the deal's done. Just like we talked in the men's meeting about, you know, taking over the promised land. But God said to Abraham when he promised him the land, no, your people have gone into captivity for 400 years because the cup of the wickedness of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. They haven't filled the cup. It's not full. I'm not judging them yet. But there's a time that God had set, and there's still a time set on this world where Satan's going to be cast out of heaven, chapter 12 of Revelation, and he's going to make war on the woman that brought forth the man-child, the Jews, and on her other offspring who hold to the testimony of Jesus. A time is coming. And when it comes, I don't care how well you pray, that's what's going to come on the earth. And if you're still alive and on the earth, you're going to be in the midst of it. God knows how to separate his people and protect them, but sometimes he protects them by letting them die. That's just how it is. Isaiah 57, I think it is. Let's look at that for a second. I think that's 57. Oh, I hope I picked the right scripture. The righteous one perishes, but no one takes it to heart. Godly men are taken away, but no one discerns it. The righteous man is taken from evil. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds or their graves, each who walked in his integrity. So sometimes God saves his people by putting them to sleep. So you need to have faith to walk through all of these things. And what's going on in Jerusalem here in the book of Jeremiah is very similar to what's going to go on in the end times. And God will protect his people, but he'll protect them according to his will in the way that he chooses to do it. So I will make them a horror, verse 4, to all the kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. Who will have pity on you, Jerusalem, or who will grieve for you, or who will turn aside to ask about your welfare? You have cast me off. O church, may we not have cast him off. May we not bring into the church the abominations of the nations that surround us. And I will not go into abominations that go on in the church. You can use your own imagination, and you can use your own memory and your own observation of things that go on within the church of the living God that are things that he commanded that we not do, that we not take up the ways of the nations. Don't worship me the way they worship me. Don't do it. But we do. So, you've cast me off. It's a declaration of the Lord. You keep going backward. So I stretch out my hand against you, and I will destroy you. I am weary with relenting. I will scatter them with a winnowing fork at the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children and destroy my people, since they do not repent of their ways. Remember, in the midst of this, there's still going to be a remnant. But he's still tearing them up. Remember, in the midst of the times of the book of Revelation, there's going to be a lot of destruction. And a lot of it is going to be on what appears to be the church. And some are going to deny him and some are going to fall away. Their widows will increase before me more than the sand of the seas. I will bring a destroyer at noonday against the mother of a young man. Suddenly I will bring down on her anguish and terrors. She who bore seven languishes. She breathes out her soul. Her sun sets while it is yet day. She is shamed and humiliated. Their survivors I give to the sword before their enemies. It is a declaration of the Lord. Oy to me, my mother, that you gave birth to me, a man of strife and conflict, to all the land. I did not lend or borrow, yet everyone curses me. This is Jeremiah crying out. I didn't borrow or lend, but everybody hates me. Why does everybody hate him? Because he's speaking the truth in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the land that is supposed to be the holy place, and they don't want to hear it. You know, Paul wrote and said that in the last days, men will not tolerate sound doctrine. They won't tolerate it, but rather they'll take teachers with itching ears who say the things they want to hear. Surely I will release you for good. Surely I will make the enemy appeal to you in time of trouble, in a time of affliction. That's the Lord saying that. Can anyone smash iron? Iron and bronze from the north? Your wealth and your treasures I will give as plunder without cost for all your sins in all your borders. I will take you away with your enemies into a land that you do not know, for a fire is kindled in my nostril which will burn against you. Jeremiah, you're a good guy. But you're going to lose all your stuff. I'm going to make it for your sins. I'm going to give you a plunder without cost for all your sins and all your borders. I will take you away with your enemies into a land you do not know. This is the good guy. God's saying to the prophet, yeah, they're not going to like you. It's not like, oh, don't worry, brother. Jesus loves you. I do love you, and you're mine, and I've called you, and you're doing what I want, but guess what? You're going with them. You're going to go with your enemies. Adonai, you know, remember me and think of me. Avenge me against my persecutors because of your long suffering. Do not take me away. Know that for your sake I endure scorn. Your words were found, so I ate them. Your words were a delight to me and the joy of my heart, for I am called by your name. I never sat in the company of revelers, nor made merry. Because of your hand I sat alone, for you filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a mirage of water that is undependable? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you. You will stand before me. If you extract the precious from the worthless, you will be as my mouth. Let them turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a fortified bronze wall to this people. They will fight against you, but will not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you. It's a declaration of the Lord. So I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of the grasp of the ruthless. Here's the prophet. He's going through this. He's got this heavy word all the time. He's got to bring this word. He's coming down on the church of the day, and they don't want to hear it. He's going to go into captivity, and he's crying out to God, and God's like, I'm going to make you so that they can't crush you. You're still going to go into captivity. I'm going to make you so that they will turn to you, but you must not turn to them. And this is a contemporary word because we're in a fearful, fallen place. The world's getting worse and worse. We have to be careful of our attitudes, that we don't get haughty, that we don't get mocking, that we don't get negative. But in the midst of giving a heavy word all the time, it's so easy. But you can't do that. You can't turn to them. You have to get them to turn to you. Chapter 15. Shall we go on? Any questions before I move forward? It doesn't matter if there's dessert. I'm going on, Kat. And I'm glad to see you're not wearing your sunglasses. Chapter 16. The word of the Lord came to me saying, you will not take a wife for yourself or have sons or daughters in this place. By the way, how old was Jeremiah when he started?
Teenager.
Maybe a teenager. Oh, Lord, I'm just a young person. And yet, in the end, he's prophesied for 40-something years. So now, obviously, he's come of age. Jerusalem's still not trashed. Maybe he had a girl he liked. And the Lord comes to him and says, you're not going to take a wife for yourself or have sons or daughters in this place. For thus says the Lord about the sons and daughters born in this place and about their mothers who give birth to them and about their fathers who father them in this land. They will die of deadly diseases. They will not be lamented or buried, but will be like dung on the surface of the ground. They will be consumed by the sword and famine, and their carcasses will be food for the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. Thus says the Lord, do not enter a house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people. It's a declaration of the Lord, as well as my mercy and compassion. Both great and small will die in this land. They will not be buried, neither will anyone lament for them, or cut themselves, or shave their heads for them. No one will break bread for them in mourning to give comfort to the dead, nor will anyone offer a cup of consolation to drink for anyone's father or his mother. You must not go into the house to feasting, to sit with them, to eat and drink. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I am about to eliminate this place before your eyes and in your days. The sound of joy and the sound of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. Now it will come to pass when you say, when you will tell this people all these words, they will say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this evil against us? So what is our iniquity? So what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then you will say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me and have walked after other gods, served them and worshiped them, and have forsaken me and not kept my instruction or my Torah. Yes, you have done worse than your fathers, for here you are, each of you walking after the stubbornness of his evil heart, not listening to me. So I will cast you out of the land into a land that you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, and there you will serve me, serve other gods day and night, for I will give you no grace. You can't take a wife, you can't go and mourn for people, and you can't party with them. You're going to be a pariah. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? If you walk with the Lord, as it continues to get uglier and uglier, curiouser and curiouser, you're going to be a pariah. I know. I am. If you start talking about things that the church does, oh, we've always done that, but that are clearly rooted in heathenism, people aren't going to like you. But if you don't talk about those things, then you leave people locked up in things that God does not like. So what are you going to do? Are you going to change your lifestyle to be the lifestyle of God? Or are you going to absorb the things of the nations which God wishes to dispossess because it's inconvenient? They came into a land, God said, don't worship me the way these people do. Destroy everything. But they didn't do it. And generations later, they found themselves infected by the very things that God wanted removed. Now we know the history of the church. It's available to be studied. And we know that so many things have been brought in from heathenism. And they're part of the church. If you didn't know, it wouldn't be sin. So you shouldn't have hung out with me. But you know what? Even in the midst of this, therefore the days are quickly coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, Rather, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had banished them, so I will bring them back into their land and give that I gave to their fathers. God never brings a heavy word without a promise. And he never brings a promise without a condition. Behold, verse 16, I will send for many fishers, says Adonai, and they will fish for them. After that, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down from every mountain and from every hill and out of the clefts of the rocks. What's the difference between a fisherman and a hunter? And don't tell me one works in water.
One catches fish and the other catches one.
Very good, Kat. And how do you catch fish?
Bait.
You use bait. And the fish are attracted to the bait. And how do you hunt? You track them down with some deadly force and kill them. They're not the same. One is, here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Here's the truth. Come on, come on, fishies. And you catch them. And the other is, I'm going to kill you. Now, it might look similar. Dogs, quit. Lay down. If you're listening on the recording and you have a dog, lay down. It's a very different thing. God was out there fishing and he caught me. But those that are not going to repent, that aren't going to come, he's going to go and hunt them down. My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. First, I will repay them double for their iniquity and their sin, because they have profaned my land, and they have filled my possession with the carcasses of their vile things and their abominations. Lord, my strength, my stronghold, my refuge in the day of affliction, to you will the nations come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, futility, and useless things. Will man make gods for himself? Yet they are not gods. So I will surely make them know. This time I will make them know my hand and my might. They will know that my name is the Lord. So all of this heavy word because of what they did, and yet God is still going to draw people back. He still wants to draw people back. As long as you're breathing, he wants to redeem you. Even this heavy word against these people, if they would repent. But they didn't repent. They tried to shoot the messenger. Boy, we're just moving along. This is great. Chapter 17.